Turn your Bibles, if you would. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. And as you're turning there, a girl took her cat to the vet. "My cat's a little overweight," she told her. "A little," said the vet. "I can see he's extremely overweight, but let me look a little closer." The vet picked up the cat, examined his teeth, looked into his eyes, then into his ears. Finally, she turned to the little girl and said, "I'm very sorry. I'm going to have to put your cat down." "Oh, no," said the little girl. She started crying. "Is it because he's so overweight?" "Yes," said the vet. "My arms are tired." Put your cat down. Amen. So anyhow, start off this message this morning with a question. What is the only man-made things in heaven? A little hint with the song we heard this morning. It's the scars in the hands, the feet, and the side of Jesus Christ. The only man-made things in heaven. And he keeps those scars as a memorial of his great redemptive work. Many don't realize, but Jesus will keep those scars throughout eternity, forever and ever. The book of Revelation tells us that when Jesus returns, those that look upon him will indeed see those very scars. Now, in our scripture this morning in John chapter 20, I just want to set the scene a little bit. Jesus has already been crucified, and he's already been resurrected from the grave. He's made several appearances at this point, and one such appearance was to his disciples. However, on that particular appearance, when he appeared to his disciples, one of those disciples was missing, Thomas. Everyone heard the phrase, doubting Thomas. Well, this is the Thomas that comes from. Doubting Thomas was not there when Jesus appeared to his disciples. So let's pick up in John chapter 20, and let's start at verse 24. "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to Thomas, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst, and he said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Most of us have gone away on vacation one time or another, right? We've all had a vacation. And many times on these vacations, we tend to buy a souvenir to remember that trip by, don't we? Now, those souvenirs are usually, you know, inexpensive trinkets, just a reminder of where we had been on that vacation, on that trip. Well, did you know that Jesus did the same thing? He left his home in glory, and he came to visit this world. And he too returned home with a souvenir. But his were not cheap. Amen? For he brought back to heaven the scars in his side, in his hands, and his feet. Nail prints that will last through eternity. The book of Zechariah 13:6 tells us, "And one will say to him, 'What are these wounds between your arms?' Then he will answer, 'Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends.'" Now, this is speaking of Jesus' second coming. Today, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father with those nail prints in his body. So that brings us to the question that I want us to think about today, and that is why. Why will Jesus bear those scars forever and ever? And the first reason is that it's a reminder that he is a God who suffers. Now, I want to start by saying this. Suffering is a very perplexing thing, isn't it? We think about suffering. More people turn away from God because of a problem with history than they do having a problem with science. Let me explain. Many Jewish people have said that they don't believe in God because of the Holocaust. They say that they cannot believe in a God that would allow such horrific suffering. And it's the same with loved ones of cancer victims or other terminal diseases. They just don't understand suffering. And suffering, again, is a very perplexing thing. The question is, why do we think that way? Our minds will automatically wrongly conclude, if God is a God of love and he loves us dearly, why doesn't he do anything about suffering? Why do people suffer? Let me pose a much greater question. It's not why do we suffer, but why does God allow himself to suffer? Amen. Almighty God, our very Creator, have you ever stopped to think about that? Have you ever considered how much God has suffered for you and me? How much God has suffered for us? How did Jesus get those scars in his side, in his hands, in his feet? He suffered. Amen. Through suffering. And not only did he suffer, but the Bible makes it clear he still suffers. Isaiah 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, God was afflicted. Jeremiah 31, 20. Allegedly. God says, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him." Hosea 11:8. "How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboim? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred." All these verses are talking about how God suffers for his children. God suffers and he hurts and he sorrows over his children just like any father would. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." God grieves over us. We need to understand that word grief. Grief is only associated with deep, true love. Amen? Your neighbor's children may vex you, but only your own children will grieve you. Amen? Because grief is closely associated with someone that you love. Our Lord grieves over us when we allow sin into our hearts and into our lives. So yes, Almighty God does suffer. Amen? Think of the church. Now, I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the spiritual church, the body of believers. The Bible tells us that all born-again believers, we are the body, and who's the head? Jesus Christ. Amen? We're the body, and Christ is the head. When the body hurts, does the head feel it? You better believe it does. In fact, it's because of the head that the body feels and the body knows pain in the first place, right? It's the brain that transfers those pain signals to the body. So when the body hurts, absolutely the head hurts. And when the church suffers, Jesus suffers. In the book of Acts chapter 9, we read about Saul. Saul was very, he thought he was on fire for the Lord. He was a Jewish leader. He was very educated. And he heard about these so-called, these Christians. And he thought it was blasphemy against God. So he went out and he persecuted these Christians. He was very zealous for God. He didn't understand these Christians because he didn't know Christ. But one day he was on the road to Damascus to get papers from the high priest. He had papers to give him the authority to do whatever he wanted to these Christians, arrest them, beat them, even kill them. And on that road to Damascus, Jesus met him face to face. Anyone remember the question that Jesus asked him? He said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Why did Jesus say me? Because when he persecuted the Christians, he was persecuting Christ. When those believers suffered, Jesus felt it. How many headaches have we caused our Savior? How many heartaches has our sin made him suffer? The Bible also tells us that we are the bride of Christ. Think about that relationship, being the bride of Christ. Does a husband suffer if his wife is unfaithful? You better believe he does. Amen? We cause Jesus to suffer when we become worldly, when we become untrue to him, and we put other things before him, and we're unfaithful to him. So the question isn't, why do we suffer? The question should be, why does Almighty God suffer? He's Almighty God. Why doesn't he just wash his hands of us? Why does he keep putting up with us? And the simple answer is because he loves us unconditionally. Amen. It's because of that unconditional love that he has for us. And those scars are a reminder of just how much he loves us. Amen. Secondly, his scars also remind us that not only is he a God who suffers, but he's a God who sympathizes with us. When we bring back that souvenir, we're saying, look, we've been there. Amen? Isn't that what that souvenir says? I was there. Jesus did indeed visit with us, didn't he? He knows what we feel. He knows how we hurt. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest in Jesus Christ who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows pain. He knows heartache. He knows suffering. He knows rejection. He knows sorrow. Shortest verse in the Bible. Anybody know what that is? Jesus wept. Amen. Two small words, but ever so rich in meaning. Amen. Jesus wept. When Jesus was at his friend Lazarus' grave, he was standing there and he was looking around and he saw all the family and friends that had gathered and they were weeping over their loved one. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion. What does that word compassion mean? Well, compassion is made up of two words. Com means with, and passion means to feel or to hurt. So when you put those two words together, compassion means to feel or hurt with someone. Amen? Jesus hurts and he suffers right with us. His scars tell us that he knows and he understands our pain and our sorrow. Those scars tell us that he indeed entered into our pain and into our heartache. Yes, we suffer. And God allows it sometimes. He allows it to happen from time to time. The question is why? All comes back to the same answer, because he loves us. You say, Pastor, you've lost it. How does pain show love? Hear me out. In the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned against God, he declared, cursed is the ground for your what? Sake. Did you catch that? Cursed is the ground for your sake. Notice he didn't say for your punishment. He said, cursed is the ground for your sake. Why? Because we need thorns. We need sweat. We need pain because now we have a sinful nature. Another reason is that things are not the way they should be also, right? Jesus has not taken his rightful spot on the throne in Jerusalem yet. Today, this world is still Satan's domain. He's in charge. He legally took the rights of this world from Adam in the Garden of Eden. He is the prince and power of this world. Amen? So if we go back to science class for just a second, anyone remember why our bodies feel pain in the first place? It's as protection, right? It's to protect us, to let us know that danger is upon us, to let us know that harm is near. That's the whole reason that we feel pain in the first place. God created us that way to help us. Amen? Pain lets us know that something is wrong. And that's why God told Adam and Eve, as well as he's telling all mankind, that cursed is the ground for our sake. It's for our benefit. Pain tells us to move away quickly, or more pain is coming. Amen? Move your hand off of that hot stove. If you keep it there, more pain's coming. Danger is all around us. Pain is a protecting power for us. Amen? Pain also has a unifying purpose. Not only a protecting power, but also a unifying purpose. Pain and suffering has a unique way of bringing us together, doesn't it? Think about that. A unique way of bringing us together. The Bible tells us that when one member of the body of Christ suffers, that every member suffers with them. Have you ever, smashed your thumb with a hammer? And I mean smashed it good, right? It hurts worse than childbirth. I'm sure it does. Amen. What'd you do? You grabbed it with your other hand, you sucked on it for a little bit, did a dance, right? Why? Why did you do that? What in the world did your other hand, your lips, and your legs have to do with that hurting thumb? It's because when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. Amen. It has a unifying purpose. When one member suffers, every member suffers. Pain and suffering, it has that unique ability to bring us together. Listen, a church that does not suffer with one another, a church that does not feel each other's pain, is a church that is numb and out of fellowship with Almighty God. Amen. Pain protects, pain unifies, and pain also corrects. When God said, "Cursed is the ground for your sake," it's telling us that something is wrong. Something's out of whack. And that something, it's our sins. Amen? Since sin has corrupted all creation, pain and suffering tells us that we need a Savior. Amen? It's for our benefit. Sin has to be dealt with. Sin has to be corrected. This is why so many turn to drugs and alcohol. They use them as a sedative to do what? To dull the pain. Amen? Because that pain is telling us something is wrong. But sedatives are only temporary. They will never cure. Sin requires a permanent cure. We need more than a sedative. We need a Savior that cures us. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only cure for all the pain, all the suffering, all the heartache that our sin causes. But that pain is telling us something's out of whack. That pain is telling us that we are in danger. That pain is telling us we need a Savior that loves us. Jesus' scars, they remind us that He suffers, that He sympathizes, and most importantly, that He saves. How? Because of how He got those scars. How did Jesus get those scars? On Calvary, amen? His scars came from those spikes that nailed Him to that cross. And that spear that pierced His side after He took His last breath, bowed His head in perfect obedience to His Father, and He said, "It is finished." He carried all of our sins to that cross, where He bled and He suffered and He died for us. Isaiah 53:5. "For Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed." He is the cure. We need to understand that Jesus, He didn't have to suffer. Amen? He's Almighty God. He can do whatever He wanted to. Jesus did not have to suffer, but He chose to suffer for our sake. He took on human flesh. He became a man so that He may enter into and bear our suffering. He didn't have to leave heaven. He chose to leave heaven. So why? I know I'm acting like a four-year-old, right? Why? So why did Jesus choose to suffer? Let me explain it this way. Suppose you and your spouse saved for your whole life for that dream vacation, right? Year after year, you put money away and saved up for that dream vacation. And say that's Hawaii. And now you and your spouse are together on that dream vacation, enjoying life in Hawaii in the finest hotel that Hawaii has to offer. Everything is just perfect. The weather, the food, the service, the atmosphere, it's just perfect. Now, while you went away, you left your children in someone else's care, let's say. Amen? And now suppose, God forbid, that one of those children of yours was in a car accident. Would you want someone to mess up that perfect vacation to tell you about that accident? Would you want someone to mess up that perfect vacation to tell you about that news? Or would you say, no, don't bother us by telling us that our child has been battered and bruised and broken? Of course not. Amen. Of course not. Every single parent would want to know. And not just want to know, what else would they want to do? They'd want to leave immediately and be there with their child while they were hurting and suffering and in pain. Why? Because we love them. Amen? Because we love them. And this is exactly why Jesus chose to leave heaven. His unconditional love for us. He looked down upon all of our pain and all of our suffering, all the things that we endure from sin, and it broke his heart. So he stepped out of glory. He lowered himself and became a man, took on flesh, and he walked that lonely road to Calvary. And there he took our place. And he suffered for us. How many moms and dads are here who've had a sick child, and that's all you would say is, I just want to change places with my child? Well, friends, Almighty God did that. He suffered and he bled and he died to save and redeem us from our sins. He took those scars for us, and he took our sin and our shame, and he nailed it to that old rugged cross. And when doubting Thomas saw those scars, he doubted no more. He looked at Jesus and he boldly proclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Let me close with this. We think about scars. And what are scars? Scars are wounds that have now healed, aren't they? Scars are wounds that have now healed. And I know you're here today and you've been through it. Amen? You've been wounded deeply. You've been hurt. You've suffered. You've been through it. But just as he was there for Thomas, Jesus is here for you today. Amen. He's waiting for you to bring those wounds to him so that he can heal them for you. That pain that you feel, that hurt, that heartache, that emptiness, that void that you feel is letting you know that something is wrong. It's letting you know that you need a Savior that loves you dearly, that wants to heal those wounds, that wants to take your place. Take your place of suffering. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.